And a merry evening to you, my sisters and brothers in Christ, saints and sinners, children of God. Here we have this night, the hope of all the ages, this time that we've been waiting for all Advent, and it has come to us, this child born in a manger in Bethlehem in his tiny crib. And in our reading, we have the birth of Christ set in this historical perspective. Augustus is the emperor. Quirinius is the governor of Syria, and I couldn't help seeing that word Syria while I was reading the gospel, and that's particularly interesting in this year, in this time. Now, while Joseph is making his way all the way from his home in Nazareth, way up in Galilee, all the way to Bethlehem, not far from Jerusalem, because, well, that's where he was born. And we've set Jesus, our Lord's ancestry, into an appropriate timeline, establishing what he inherits from Mary. This woman, if we've established her relationship with Elizabeth, who is a priestly class, descended from Aaron himself, and is it any wonder that the wondrous Magnificat that we read last Sunday and we read every Wednesday, we sing every Wednesday, that she declares that she comes from this line of priests? And we also establish her fiancé, once again, Joseph, is also of a royal line, is of a royal line, descended directly from David. And whether or not he's the father of the child that this soon-to-be wife of his, Mary, bears, this child will nevertheless be claimed as the son of Joseph in his life, and therefore inherit Joseph's patrilineage. And then we move into this part of the narrative that we only find in the Gospel of Luke. Nowhere else do we hear about these shepherds who find themselves out in the middle of the night, minding their own business, when suddenly, out of nowhere, this figure bathed in light just appears. So what was it about these particular shepherds, all sharing the same flock, that made them so special? Why did they get the honor of receiving God's words and hearing this host of heaven, this divine army singing praise and wonder to God? What could have been this message coming down from heaven that gave these shepherds heavenly pause and enrichment? I couldn't imagine being there. I can try to imagine. I try to think about being a shepherd in the midst of his flock at night, in these hills around this little town of Bethlehem, with only my shepherd companions and the sheep bleating around me in the night, and it's quiet and it's dark. And then all of a sudden, this bright light of this angel is above me. And how could I scarce believe the amazing sights of this heavenly host singing praise to glory, wondrous light shining out of heaven to declare this amazing event is about to take place here in Bethlehem? Now, this past Sunday at my home in Richmond, you could look up in the sky. It wasn't angels that you would see. It was helicopters. Now, I just moved from Oakland, and I got used to the sight of helicopters up in the air all the time when I was living in North Oakland. But I wasn't expecting to see this. It's now happened twice in Richmond since we've lived there. And it was a harbinger of the kind of news that we've been hearing way too often in this day of age. Now, thankfully, this wasn't some violence that happened, like the previous one where there was a shooting out on I-80. But there was the potential for particular violence. Instead, it was the police responding to a tip that there was a plot against an Islamic mosque not too far from where I live. Now, this fellow that they eventually arrested, who had made threats to his neighbors, members of a local mosque, saying, "I'm going to kill you all." After they connected him to this picture on social media of a pipe bomb that he had actually built. And it stands to reason that this individual is a supporter of a certain political figure who has been making rather disparaging remarks about Muslims, who is indirectly responsible, probably not directly responsible, but indirectly responsible for violence against Muslims increasingly and measurably over the last few weeks. This is the same kind of inhumanity that takes place that prevents us from being host to this stranger who is lost. Those who are seeking refuge, like Jesus and his parents, Jesus was about to be born as they're traveling to this manger in Bethlehem. Now, how can we as human beings take the word of those who would seek to alienate others when we know ourselves that the refugees that are entering our borders are escaping the same kind of violence that we ourselves are afraid of? That we have declared that we fear all through the media, these people that have been experiencing the horrors that we don't want, the victims of the horrors that we're trying to prevent. It is irrational that we should point at any Muslim and say that they are terrorists without knowing anything about that particular person, because of the actions of an incredibly small percentage. And I'm not even going to venture to say 0.01%, because it's much lower than that, of people who claim the Muslim faith. And paranoia has left our fellow citizens in a state of disarray, and they have left us as a nation unable to discern what the real threats against us are from those that we're afraid of. Now, I've heard it often said in recent days that the real goal of groups like Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab and ISIS, the Islamic State in the Middle East, is to drive us into a holy war between Christians and Muslims. Now, if that is the goal, then we as members of a nation, by demonstrating hostilities towards people who worship God in a way that Christians decry, are heading in that direction. But we cannot claim to participate in this holy war and still claim to be following our Christian faith. Jesus is the light come into the world. And we need not a sign in the sky from angels to tell us that the Christ in others needs to find a place to lay their bed and rest. I honestly don't know how many of these people that were being targeted who attend this mosque in Richmond are refugees. I don't know how many of these people are other sorts of immigrants, whether they be documented or not, and how many of them were actually born and bred here in the United States. I do know that my entirety of interactions with Muslims in the Bay Area, and anybody that's been to the GTU and I went to school there, there's a large Muslim population of students that attend there. I do know that there are people that I've met who want the same things that I do, a safety in their way of life, to be left to believe what they want to believe and to participate in public life the way the rest of us do. The lie that Muslims are here to undermine our way of life is despicable and harmful and a violation of the Eighth Commandment, which says to bear no false witness against our neighbor. Christian service demands that we call it out when we can, and to be good neighbors to those that live among us, whether they be citizens or refugees. Now, as such, this evening, there's going to be a little event that's taking place at the Islamic Society of West Contra Costa County in Richmond. And we're going to be papering that mosque's door with a splash of love, letters and support, solidarity and appreciation, to show that even though there are some out there who are acrimonious and antagonistic, there is a wealth of support from the rest of us, Christian and non-Christian alike, who are following our hearts and who are living out the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be going there and posting a note myself. And I've offered to bring with them the thoughts and prayers of my church family. The Lutheran Church of the Cross community has so much love to give. I see it in the way we love each other. And I know that this is the kind of love that we can offer to other people. I know it would mean a great deal to our Muslim sisters and brothers to know that even though the loudest voices are often the hostile ones, there are many of us who practice the love that God has given us to grant in our hearts. And for those of you that wish, and I'm by no means asking everybody here to do this, but only those that wish to, I'd like to ask that you fill out a message of hope, support, and love, and give them to me after the service so I can present them to the Islamic Center in Richmond on behalf of Lutheran Church of the Cross. And I'd like to ask for somebody to help me. Pass out. I have some notes. And some Sharpies if he had that.
Maddie, Romy, come here.
And while you're doing that, and remember, not everybody, certainly if you're not interested in doing that, please, we're not expecting anybody to do it, only those that wish to. But while you're doing that, I'd like to bring us back to our reading from Luke, because our reading has left us with only part of the story. The shepherds that have heard the choirs of angels. Now let us return to the shepherds now and find out what it means to be given a message from God and how to convey that message and the love of one's neighbor and the freedom that God gives us with the light of His Son, Jesus Christ. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And that, my sisters and brothers, is the good news of Christ who lives among us today. Christ who was born this day in Bethlehem, and Christ who brings us into the future through His salvation and His gift of God, from God to us to come. Amen.